everybody. Welcome to the WDW Park Hoppers Table for Four. And I am so glad that we actually have four people here. We had a late minute arrival. We had a cancellation, but the reservation was for four. So yeah, I'm very excited that you are joining us. If you're watching us live on Blab, thank you for taking time out of your busy evenings to watch us. If you're not, hey, Wednesday nights, 8 o'clock, I would love for you to come and hang out and chat with us in the chat room, or you might even be called onto the show. Whatever, you know, it's no rules, but it's 8 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. Love to have you. WDWParkHoppers.com is the site. You could watch it there. You could watch it live on blab.im. My name is John. Parkhopper John is my nickname, and I'd like to welcome everybody here. I would love to introduce you to the cast of characters for this week. I'm going to start off with the lovely and talented Rachel. Why don't you introduce yourself and tell everybody a little bit about you and how they can find you on the internet.
Hi, guys. I am one third of the amazing group of Behind the Magic, daily Disney podcast that is currently taking a break before our new season 5 release. It's you can basically look up just Behind Magic and we're there. BTM podcast _ on Twitter.
Awesome. And
we like to keep it simple.
Yeah. And that's the way it has to be. That keeps it simple for everybody. And I'm a simple kind of guy. So a new friend that I've recently met, ladies and gentlemen, Maury the Bellhop. How are you doing?
Hello. I'm doing well.
Excellent. Why don't you tell everybody a little bit about you and how they can find you on the internet?
Yeah, I am part of the website dapsmagic.com. DAPS stands for Disneyland Annual Pass Holders. We've kind of been expanding beyond Disneyland a lot too, but Daps Magic. And then I write for that. I'm on Daps Cast is our podcast. And you can find me personally at Daps Murray. And that's Instagram and Twitter. Our main actual website, Twitter, is Daps_Magic. We lost the email for the full name. So you have to do the _ now. But
Understood. Yeah, Mr. Daps, I've met him a couple of times, I think, online. Great guy, great site. I love what you guys do.
Thank you.
That keeps me up to date on everything on the West Coast. And if you ever listen to me on a podcast, you know that the yin to my yang, the Han Solo to my Chewbacca, the the wind beneath my wings. You know I'm
your Iron Man to your Hulk.
That's right. No, the Iron Man to my Pepper Potts. Get it right, buddy. Is my cohort in crime from the Disney Parks podcast, Mr. Tony Casanova from Disney by the Numbers. How you doing today, pal?
Excellent day. Getting ready to party.
That's right. We got a big weekend planned.
Haven't packed. I've packed prizes. I haven't packed clothes.
So to catch everybody up, we are going to be spending the weekend at a grand villa at Disney's Animal Kingdom Lodge, Kidani Village. So it's going to be Tony. It's going to be me, my wife, Sarah, Sid. So you're not confused. Another couple, some friends of ours, and then another couple, some friends of ours. Yep. And then on Saturday, we're going to have like a ton of people coming over from the podcast. And it's going to be crazy. We're going to do the best that we can to try to get thrown out. It's going to be a lot of fun. So I'd like to welcome you guys. Thank you so much for taking time out of your day to do this. And this is where I would normally promote a sponsor. And I have to say, I'm very excited that I'm sponsoring my own show. Can you believe that? I actually have. If you haven't got a copy of one of these bad boys, you really need to.
Did you pay yourself?
I am paying myself. I'm sleeping with myself. That's what I'm doing. That's how I'm paying for this.
Oh, no.
Anyway, go over to www.parkhoppers.com and click on Disney Bucket List. The Disney Bucket List is over 100 amazing list items that you can do to make your visit to the Magic Kingdom even more magical. So many things that you may or may not know. It's how locals would go to the park to enjoy themselves. And there's layers of magic that you haven't even imagined. So it's a lot of fun. It's a great book. Would love for you to come get a copy of it. And if you get it through the link on the website, I'll even sign it for you. I'll sign whatever name you want. I'll sign it Steve Jobs, Ed Catmull, Walt Brian Disney. Boitano, Walt Disney. Yeah. I don't care. I'll sign whatever name you want. So that's kind of how that goes. So that's great. I love it. If the Disney bucket list could grab a copy. All right. So enough of the housekeeping. I have a couple different things I'd like to talk about. Let's start off talking a little bit about all of the craziness that's going on at Epcot for the 2016 International Flower and Garden Festival, going from 60-some days exploding to 90 days. That's crazy. I can only imagine how bad it's going to get in a couple of years for the Food and Wine Festival. So, Tony, you're a big fan of the Flower and Garden Festival. You're a big flower guy, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
No.
Food and Wine, yes. Flower and Garden. I since I put the food in the Flower and Garden, that's really the only reason I go there.
Right.
It is nice. You know, you do get a really, some nice pictures nowadays. I mean, they really... I do say that, you know, flower part does make the park look a little bit more pretty. It's like lipstick on the pig, but you really can get some really sensational pictures of the park when they do up the flowers. So it's good stuff. It's good stuff.
Now, Rachel, you're a big fan, right, of Flower and Garden?
I am. Well, when we had our annual passes, it was really open during those, like, the non-blackout times were during Flower and Garden, like, as it was just beginning, and then as Food and Wine was just ending. So whenever I went to Epcot, some sort of festival was going on, and it was always, I always loved the flowers, the amazing topiaries that they can do, just, like, to make them look like Disney characters, so I like them. I like seeing them in Disney Springs as well. But I'm not much of a, like, a picture taker of them. I'm more just like, ooh, look at this thing. It's so pretty. All right, moving on to the next thing.
You spend a lot of time hanging out in the butterfly enclosure.
I don't actually. I'm not much. I'm just not a butterfly person. Again, dude. I go for it's true. Since they've added food to the Flower and Garden, it's more. Try as many different and new weird things as you can, but I don't know. Really just go to look at it.
Right. I get trapped in the butterfly garden all the time because that's one thing that Sarah likes to do, and it's always like 15 degrees hotter, and it's like going to Animal Kingdom.
Yeah, I get trapped in the beer garden.
You say that as if it's a bad thing.
Yes. It's not a bad thing.
So, Murray, I'm assuming, and I forgot to ask, I'm assuming you're a West Coaster.
Yep.
So you probably haven't had a lot of experience with Flower and Garden Festival.
Not a lot. I've been once, and it was back in 2010. So I know it's greatly changed since then. Right. So, like, I'm not even sure if they had food. I think it was just in the pavilion in Wonders of Life.
Right.
So I haven't gotten to experience the food. From what I've heard, the smokehouse is supposed to be really good. I had some friends say they like that a lot. Yeah. But for me, even without having the food, I think it was a great experience. I've been to Epcot a lot, and having a lot of flowers, the great topiaries, it just made it even more beautiful and took quite a few pictures. So, I thought it was a great event. I do like Food and Wine better out of the two. So
you've got to be excited because Food and Wine is coming back to California Adventure, yes. Right?
I'm very excited. Yeah, I've been waiting. Since I think it was actually 2010 when they last had it, maybe 2009, something like that. So it's been a little while and looking forward to it.
Now, have you been to the Food and Wine Festival here?
I have actually got to go this last November for the first time. So
how do they compare?
It's actually kind of hard to compare because they're a little bit different. I mean, the thing that they have most in common is Food and Wine, literally. There's not the same like multiple stand setup that they have at Epcot for the one in California Adventure. It's more that the food offerings are at the normal restaurants and there's at least one item that you can get. The good thing about it is a lot of the items are full meals. So you don't just get a sample. You get to have the full meal of it. Well, I guess that could be bad, because if you don't like it, then you bought the full meal and you got
yeah, right.
Yeah, you're stuck with it. So, but
is that just making you want to come back more than once to try every single meal?
Yeah. and probably the problem with that too is if you try to do it in one day, then you're going to get stuffed. So it is probably better to go multiple days and just do one item.
Per so day. how do they price that, Murray? Do they price it at like a normal meal, like a yeah. $12-$13 deal?
Yep. Yeah. Usual meal cost. So.
Yeah. So you really can't, you know, do like, you know, kind of like what we do is, you know, eat your way around the world, because you'd have to have a large budget for that.
Yeah. Yeah, unfortunately, it's more. Yeah, it's just. I mean, I don't think you could call it a sample, because it's yeah, it's the full menu item. Right. But usually, it's all been good. I never found anything I didn't like when I would taste anything at California Adventure. So chances are you're going to find something good. You just pay like $13 to $15 for it. Mm. Unfortunately.
Right. Do they have any special events that go with that?
They do. And it's a little similar to how they did it in Epcot. They do have a stage where they'll do demonstrations, but it's, this was back before Buena Vista Street was when they last had it. So
yeah.
They had the Sunshine Plaza in California Adventure with this weird fountain sun icon thing. And so they set up the stage right next to that and had a lot of Food Network chefs. Robert Irvine was one of the ones that came for the last Food and Wine Festival, and he did some demonstrations. And they'll do some wine tasting right by there as well. That's one of the big things for being California. We have tons of wineries, so we get to.
I would think that they can get some of those West Coast chefs that may not want to come out to the East Coast.
Yeah, it's not a big selection a lot of times, because they'll usually have someone for like a few days out of the week come by. And so for it being just a month, you only get, I'm trying to remember. I mean, it's been a while, but I want to say there's only maybe like 10 chefs that came by total. Wow. This is the last time they ever did it. So yeah, pretty good amount, but, I mean, the potential, you're right, it's pretty big here in California to have some celebrity chefs or just any really good chefs from – there's a lot in L.A., and that's right next door, but they don't call on them too much.
Do they do any – I know you were talking about special, like, events with the food and stuff. Do they do any music stuff, or is it just all food, all wine, all chefs, that kind of stuff?
All food, all wine. It's hard to say though for this one coming up, because the park has changed so much. And I know the day before, if not 2 days before Food and Wine starts, they're going to shut down Mad Tea Party. So there's a big stage in Hollywoodland that they'll have vacant. So it's possible to kind of have some people up there and playing.
Cool. Yeah. Well, I was wondering, because last time I was there, it seemed like, and please don't take this the wrong way, it seemed just like a really small park. So I was wondering where all those people are going to go. And I'm sure that they're not going to be the thousands and thousands of people going through there like they do at Epcot, because it's completely different style. And, you know, but I think that that's great that if they could utilize that space and bring in something as cool as a food and wine festival, that would be amazing. So I'm jealous. I'd like to go see it. I'd rather go to that, honestly. And if you're listening, anybody from Disney, forgive me. I'd rather go to that than I would rather go to a flower and garden festival.
Yeah.
You know, but, you know.
Hey, I was just talking about flower and garden. You had mentioned topiaries, and they're promising us over 100 topiaries this year. That's a lot.
Yeah,
that's
good.
That may be more than normal.
I mean, and the thing is so funny is now they're starting to be used all around the other parks in Disney Springs. So are they going to pull them all in, and they're going to have all these empty spaces? Probably. Hey, we used all the topiaries. Sorry.
I think what they did last year, too, was that, like, they set them up in, like, these little scenes. You know, it might have been two or three of them. you know, like Pan the Crocodile and, you know, Hook. So, and then they had them lit, and I think they even had their own music thing going with them too. So they were setting up like little mini movie vignettes. So,
yeah, it's nice. It's still nowhere near what Food and Wine is to me. Mm. But, you know, that's just me being a jerk.
Some people have special connections to that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, if I was a gardening person, I would love it, but I just can't. I just can't get behind it. But hey, I'm excited that they're doing it. My fear is they're gonna do 90 days of this, and then it's gonna be summer, and then they're gonna, you know, this year we already have the dates for Food and Wine, but they're gonna realize, hey, why don't we go ahead and make it 90 days? So then it'll just be seasons of Christmas, Flower Garden, hot,
yeah,
Food and Wine.
Right.
That's it.
You mean hot Brazilians?
Just hot.
Hot Brazilians.
Yeah.
Hey, but this year,
you know, I have a question actually. I just thought, sure, go ahead. Well, I had a question for Murray actually. Do you guys have Brazilian tour groups in Disneyland? You know, that's something I don't think about, but it's like, do they plague the parks too?
No, we have annual pass holders, which can sometimes be as annoying. And I'll speak as an annual pass holder. I'm sure I'm annoying sometimes to Disneyland. Yeah, no. actually, no big tour groups at all.
Wow.
We get some tour groups, but yeah, no large ones. Yeah.
I'm so jealous. You have no idea. I don't care.
I know. It's just like, that's
I've been
great.
There a lot to Disney World in the summer, and so I've experienced the Brazilian tour groups, and especially staying at some of the value resort hotels. And yeah.
Yeah. Clap and screaming and yelling and
yeah.
Hollering.
Oh, yeah.
Seconded only by cheerleaders and dance teams.
Oh, yeah. When they're together, that's great. Gosh. That's really good.
Oh, yeah. It's the perfect storm. It's Dante's seventh level. Of
yeah. That's when I say,
yes.
See you, Disney.
Yes.
Exactly.
I was going to say, you know, this year they have, you know, not the fake Flower and Garden music. They're actually bringing real bands this time. And I'm really excited that, A, my buddy's Night Ranger are coming back. And B, Blood, Sweat, and Tears. I love Blood, Sweat, and Tears. So I've always wanted to see them, and now I'm going to see them for free.
Woo-hoo. Oh, no, you're going to pay for it.
Probably. Probably not. One way or another. You're probably with a beer or drink, a beverage or something.
Yeah.
But I'm excited.
That's a lot of fun. I mean, is there anybody outside of those two bands? Like, Rachel, is there anybody that you're excited about seeing coming at all?
I don't think I know like any of the, I was just looking Village at it, I was people. Like, I don't think I know any of the bands that are going to be this
yeah.
year. Though I just don't go to Epcot for music unless it's the Christmas Spectacular, and that night I'll like kill someone to get a seat when Neil Patrick Harris is talking. But you know, I'm not a music person when it comes to Epcot.
Yeah. I think it's the best, like, little hidden gem of those two events. Because, I mean, if you think about it, you know, you'd probably pay $90 to go see Night Ranger at the Amway Center. You'd have to, you know, park your car, deal with, like, tens of thousands of other people. And here, it's free. It's part of your admission. And there's only maybe 1,200 people. I think that's a steal. If you go to all three sets, last time Night Ranger did three different, you know, sets. They did all their hits, then they did an acoustic set, and then they did some of their newer stuff with some of their hits mixed in there at the end. But I like when they do that. You know, some of them do all three sets the same. So if you go, you're like, oh my god, did I just hear that?
Right.
You know, 10 minutes ago. So I like when the bands mix it up. And some of them do it different stuff on different nights. Some of them will, you know, do all the same stuff on Friday and then do different stuff on Saturday. So it'll be interesting. I think it's the best hidden gem. I mean,
well, we haven't talked
seeing about Night Ranger for free is crazy.
Yeah, we haven't talked about it. And I haven't seen a lot of people talk about it. You realize what they've done from last year, right?
Well, they had the faux
No, yeah, no. About the bands. Last year was the last year of the flower. The flower, yeah, flower power. Everybody right. was dying.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. they've got, I think they got the one guy, Paul Revere and the Raiders.
Yeah.
But everybody was kicking off. So they had to bring some newer bands in. I'm a little concerned about the YMCA with the Village People. That could be terrifying. But it'll be fun.
And you know, the other thing that they got, they got rid of, and I tried to do this the other day. They got rid of the fast passes for the concerts.
Yeah.
No fast pass. Yeah, really? No fast pass for the concert this year so far. Yeah. I've tried a couple times and I haven't seen them. So, I don't know. Maybe they're only for Food and Garden. I was hoping they would bring them for Flower and Garden, but
right.
So now you just have to sit in the hot sun for like, you know, 45 to an hour.
Well, you have to.
Then you'll get a food.
Well, you have to hope that they have the Chase Lounge. And that Chase gives out the wristbands in the morning for the shows. So that means you have to get to Epcot, a rope drop, so you can run over to the Chase Lounge so that you get a wristband for something that's not going to happen until 5:45 at night.
Right.
You can sit in the lounge and just drink all day or go home and then come back again. You know.
All right. So is there anything else about Flower and Garden we need to touch on? I want to change gears real quick because I've got a limited amount of time with all of you guys. So there is one thing that I really did want to talk about since we were all here.
I'm done with them.
Okay. Are you done?
Flower Garden.
Is it dead to you?
You want to bring up. Yeah.
It's dead to me.
Okay.
Yeah.
I watched it twice. The first time.
Oh, dear. Oh, no. I know what you're talking about.
The first time I was like. The second time I watched it a little bit more critically and I was like, I really kind of got mad. The Disneyland 60th anniversary commercial sing along with people who have no business. I Idina Menzel, I get it. Fall Out Boy, I don't get. The country girl singing Rainbow Connection was great, but I don't.
Let's go back to Fall Out Boy 1 second. Okay. Was there a reason the drummer had no shirt on national television?
Gotta check out the guns, bro.
Ratings. Let's sort of just Fall Out Boys, like, you know.
Listen, he looked like a walking advertisement for a tattoo parlor.
Okay, so here's my first question. I've got a lot of crazy questions. As a West Coaster,
oh boy,
as being passionate about Disneyland, obviously, what were your initial feelings towards that special?
Sweet well, Jesus, where's Walt?
Yeah.
turning in his grave. Yeah.
Well, I heard people point out the expectation was that there's just going to be a lot of musical acts, and that was my expectation too. I mean I enjoyed quite a few of them. I mean I loved having Dick Van Dyke out during Steps in Time. I mean that was he got a standing ovation. I think that says it all. So things like that, those little magic moments were great. I liked a few of the other performances. It was definitely performance heavy, I will say. Mm-hmm. And I mean, the big draw was about Star Wars Land for Disneyland, if there was anything. It wasn't too Disneyland heavy. Probably could have been a little bit more, but you know, Disney got 2 hours on ABC to just talk about as much as they could. And there was a lot I think they wanted to talk about that wasn't necessarily Disneyland. So I think that's what happened basically.
Yeah. So, you know, they recorded that. Obviously they pre-recorded all of that because So what was it like, you know, for you guys out there? I mean, did they shut the park down for the day? I mean, I can't imagine like Elton John. They probably had to have special wristbands or tickets or something.
No, and I've got a funny story about that Elton John performance. So they actually filmed that. Sorry to spoil a little bit of magic. We don't usually do that.
It's nothing to spoil.
I know, I'm sorry. But they filmed that during the Star Wars Half Marathon weekend. And so my friend and I were we grabbed dinner. We were running the next day, and so we were trying to get out. And we knew they were probably going to be filming it, but we weren't sure. And sure enough, there was Elton John from the castle. We just decided to go all the way to the main gate to, and it wasn't even necessarily to try to get to sleep. We were just like, ah, there's a big crowd. It's Elton John. We're good. But we got down Main Street and we both kind of turned to each other and we're like, if we're not stopping for Elton John, who would we stop for? Like what would make us stop and listen? We even said like he could have a giant T-Rex playing guitar and we still wouldn't stop. We'd just keep walking. So, but anyway, all that to say they didn't shut down the whole park. You could have just walked right up to the castle. They had ropes and I think there's specific people that were in the very front, but anyone was welcome to just stop if there was room and listen. Wow. So yeah.
Wow. That's crazy. And, well, they're pretty good with their crowd control. They usually split Main Street, get the in, the out, and you know, keep the sidewalks clear. I've been there on busy days, and they're pretty good at that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I said this the other day when Tony and I were talking. I was a little disappointed because I knew it was going to be a commercial.
Yeah,
I was a little disappointed in there and how little Disneyland history there was. We're celebrating 60 years. So how do you, I've been in planning meetings. I've planned meetings. I've planned big events. That's not something in common to me. So somebody on a whiteboard had to write Disneyland 60th. How do we celebrate Disneyland 60th? Okay. Let's invite a couple of acts on and let them do a couple of their own songs. They have nothing to do with Disney.
Yeah.
Let's invite a couple of people on that really are only loosely connected to the Disney family. You know, I didn't understand why they weren't trouting, and forgive me for going on a rant here, why Julie Andrews didn't come out, why, you know, some of the other Disney legends weren't there. I don't
Marty understand.
Marty Scalar. The Imagineers. You know, hey, we got the voices of Disneyland. That was pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
But little things like that just blew my mind. And you ended the Disneyland 60th anniversary special on an original song from Elton John. And I'm sitting here going, what the absolute. Yeah, I could not believe it.
Elton John said, I'll do it, but I have to play one of my new songs in order to sell some albums. Otherwise, it's not worth me to drag my whole entire entourage out there. That's probably what he said. Mm-hmm. And they said, yeah, you could do it at the end. We don't care. It'll be over. We'll be sleeping. The DVRs will be off. Whatever. That's probably what happened, John. I mean, it was, you know, it's probably some kind of contractual agreement Elton John asked for.
I'm sure. Rachel, what were your thoughts?
They should have accidentally cut the satellite feed.
Like, in just a blurry screen. Nothing here.
Somebody with an action.
Move along. Move along.
Exactly. Almost like the Adele performance, you know, where they dropped the mic and the piano. That's what they should have done.
So, Rachel, what did you think?
I thought it was okay. Like, they did hype it up to seem like it was going to be more Disneyland than it was, and having only like four or five scenes in the actual park, which was sort of disappointing. I was really just live tweeting a lot of it, and I had a lot of people, East Coasters seemed okay with it, but West Coasters, it was just like an hour and a half after it ended, and West Coasters were salty. I mean, oh my gosh, there were so many angry tweets I saw. I was like, wow. We ran a poll on our Twitter. It was like, so what'd you think of it? And there was like, loved it, meh, too long. And then there was just like, there's just a no, we hated it. We don't want to see it again. That was at 38%, and I was so stunned by that because they had some good information, and we saw a lot of like concept art, which also should not be taken for fact if we're going to start looking at Star Wars Land, because like concept art for any of the Disney things are just they don't
look fluid, the same. Always fluid.
So for the people that are just like, oh, this is going to be so great, it's like that's probably not what it's going to look like, but you know that's what they want it to look like. So.
Wait for the money crunchers.
I am interested to see.
I'm sorry. Wait for the people who are in charge of the money get their mitts on it. Then we can start seeing what it's going to look like.
Yeah. And, you know, we heard that rumor.
I was most excited for the.
Go ahead, Rachel.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was just most excited for the movie reviews, like the movie previews. Mm. That was what I was looking forward to over the park stuff, because I knew a lot of the Star Wars land was just going to be, you know, stuff that we've sort of already seen, but like haven't totally seen. So, yeah, that's what I was.
So I don't mean to be stupid, but how is Helen Mirren connected to the Disney family?
She's not.
Were they trying to sneak some posh British person in and let everybody think, oh, they brought out
Elton John?
Well, that's true, but
Sir Elton John, we had two appearances of the.
We had two posh
knighthood of princehood. That's whatever.
Right. Totally get that. Totally with you on that. But just that, and then the lack of. Now, I thought that, you know, the scenes with Josh Gad were nice. I thought the opening montage was great.
Josh was doing would have probably been preferable. I mean, you could have done that for a half an hour, taking you around all the different little historical parts of Disneyland and told you some crazy little fact about it. I mean, that would have been entertainment right there. I would have been done myself. I mean, you know, that's me. I like the Disney history. I like the numbers. I like the facts. I like the information.
Well,
he could have done that for half an hour and I would have been fine with it.
I have a question regarding the history, like if they were to present it with that. I mean, we're all big Disney fans. There's a lot of big Disney fans, as we know. Do you think we all know way too much about the history that actually would have been boring?
I don't think so, because they're usually able to dig up stuff that we haven't seen before or heard before. I mean, you know, D23 is a good example of that. I mean, you go to some of those panels and, you know, things slip out, you know, from different Imagineers. You're like, what? You were going to put what there? You know, so I think they could have dug around and, you know, even if they just had on some, you know, Imagineers talking about how they got started at Disneyland or why they worked at the park.
Right.
You know, you guys have some of the longest employees in the Disney company.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, why would somebody stay there? I mean, there's some guy we heard that's going to be there for 60 years. Why was that there? Bring that guy on or the girl. Right. And why did you stay here 60 years? That's crazy. Right. You have one job.
Rachel, I know you have to split. Do you need to bow out?
I need to bow out. Got a recording.
All right. Too. Thank you so much. Remind everybody real quick how they can find you online.
They can find us at btmpodcast.com or on Twitter at btmpodcast_.
Awesome. You have a great night, my friend. Thanks. Thanks for coming on.
Awesome.
Have a good night.
You guys too. It was awesome meeting you guys.
See you.
Nice to meet you.
To answer your question, though, if we're celebrating Disney's 60th anniversary, why wouldn't you go back? Because I've had an anniversary. I've got a 10-year anniversary coming up. It's great to go back and look at where we came from so that we can appreciate the relationship more. Disneyland has so much incredible history. I mean, just think about all the incredible ride innovations, the rides that inspired movies, the incredible amount of actors who came through there. And
the attractions that inspired movies, not even the other way around.
Right, exactly. There's so much history there that I think, it could have been, but there could have been a better balance. I think that bringing in bands to redo, you know, bringing Fall Out Boy in to redo one song from, you know, The Jungle Book, great tie into the movie. I get it. You know, we had to get the tie into Zootopia. I get it. We had the Star Wars land and that was huge. But there are so many great things that they could have focused on. And they did. And what I was shocked about most is they didn't even do the things that they would do during the parade.
The Christmas parade.
No talking about the resorts. Yeah. No offers for fans. None of that stuff. Yeah. Like, what is going on here?
Yeah.
I just think it was sort of a good idea, but it was a wasted opportunity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I did wonder if it was supposed to be mostly marketing to get people to come to the Disneyland Resort. But yeah, it's certainly not talking about it enough that, you know, anyone would want to come in the immediate future, because, you know, if they're talking about Star Wars Land is going to come, probably people are waiting until it opens and then they'll book the vacation then. So
yeah, because that's what I really thought it was going to be. You know, this was going to be the last year for the 6th. Mm-hmm. So I thought it was going to be a really hard sell. Hey, you know, come now, paint the night, the dreams thing, whatever. You know, I thought it was going to be a really hard sell on all the reasons you should come to the 60th before these things go away and you're not going to see them again. Mm-hmm. And meanwhile, they were selling us on something that's not coming for 2-3 years, Star Wars Land. So yeah, I thought it was going to really be a hard sell on all the reasons you should come and celebrate. And the first, you know, the first time they were talking about the show, they almost made it sound like A, Dick Van Dyke was hosting, and B, we were going to get the Wonderful World of Disney back. And those two things, I was like, well, wait a minute, hold on. We're going to get Dick Van Dyke on a Sunday show. I'm like, all right, I'm in. You know, and we didn't get either one of those. We got Dick Van Dyke for 30 seconds.
Yes.
And we got a Wonderful World of something. And it wasn't the show that I remember watching on Sunday nights with my family. So,
yeah, it was entertaining to a point. But the Disney fan in me cried a little bit because I really wanted it to be a little bit more, you know, when I came out of that show thinking, if I was not a Disney fan, this show would not make me a Disney fan. Mm-hmm. If I was a Star Wars fan, which I am, I'm really excited about Star Wars Land. If I was a kid and I really like movies about talking animals, I'm really excited about Zootopia and the Jungle Book. I'm not really excited about visiting Disneyland because we got to see some of Cars Land, but they were singing a song that had nothing to do with Cars.
Yeah.
Well, let me pray. It had something to do with El Car, but it wasn't Cars. It wasn't from the soundtrack. And it
wasn't a song from the movie Cars.
Right. Yeah. You know, Route 66, something stupid, you know, crazy. Yeah. Call me nuts. Little things like that, I think, were a missed opportunity. And you're probably right. There were probably contractual negotiations going on. And Disney should have... I'm just being a jerk here. Disney just said, excuse me, do you know who we are? Yeah. We're Disney. Yeah. You're going to do
our number one brand in the world.
Most trusted brand in the world. Yeah. And we own you. Look, you see right here? It's owned by Disney. That's just me. And I'm an East Coaster. So, you know.
Can we talk about the Disney Applause app?
Yeah, go ahead, man.
You want to go down that road?
Yeah, did you try that out, Murray?
I did, only for a couple of the acts, though.
Did it work?
Yeah,
it worked
for you.
Well, yeah. So I didn't watch it when it aired. I watched it the next morning, so the app worked a lot better, I'm sure.
Yeah. I tried it live, and I got about 5-10 seconds in, and then it bounced me because. The servers just got slammed. There was just too much volume, and I couldn't get back on. I did take some screenshots. I actually posted some of them on my Facebook, but you know, I did. You know, it's supposed to be the World of Color. I really can't see that. Anyway, you know, it did work obviously the next day, but I even tried the other app they had, which was the Jaunt app, JAUNT, and that bounced me too. So. That just goes, you know, this is like this running theme with Disney and these mobile apps is, you know, they know that like 11 million people are going to try and do this simultaneously. And yet they don't have the bandwidth, the servers, you know, it's like trying to get a D23 ticket. You know, it's impossible, you know. I just wish they, you know. They, you know, they make that fan experience kind of not palatable, and I wish they would fix that somehow. You know, I'm sure Bob Iger's app worked at home. You know, I'm sure him and his kids didn't have a problem getting on. You know, probably tied their MAC address to a server.
Probably.
Yeah, I mean, come on. Yeah. Anyway,
I am glad that you can still use the app after the live airing, because I feel like there's some other times that they've tried to do that, and you have to be watching at the exact same time that it airs. So, but yeah, it's unfortunate that the bandwidth just wasn't there.
And so here's another interesting thing, which kind of I posted it, I think, on my Facebook today. The entire show was on Hulu for free. You could go to Hulu and you can watch it. So if you didn't set your DVR, just go to Hulu. And I didn't even sign up or anything. I just went there. I searched for Disneyland 60th. Boom. Went, watched the entire thing. I didn't watch the entire thing. I watched certain sections of it again just to make sure it was, you know, the entire thing was there. And that's it. So it's on Hulu and it's for free in case you didn't set your DVR.
Now, do they have an agreement with Disney, or is it just ABC?
I think Disney owns Hulu now.
They own a part of it. Yeah.
Wow.
So, why are Disney movies still on Netflix?
They're not going to be. They're slowly pulling them off one by one. As soon as their time expires,
I think they're supposed to be adding some more because the Star Wars films are supposed to be coming on there at some point.
Yeah, Star Wars is coming back. But the ones that I have in my favorite list keep expiring and disappearing. And I think they're going to I think they were going to redo their contract or something with Netflix or somebody else, I heard. Maybe it's going to be Hulu. I thought I heard they were going to put a good majority of their collection on some streaming service. Maybe it was the thing that Walmart's got a stake in, Vudu. Maybe it was that. I don't know. It was someplace that we wouldn't be able to monetize it and make more money, obviously. They're not going to put them out there for free.
So let me changing the subject slightly again. Murray, you're a local. When I say you're local, how close are you to Disneyland? Not that I'm trying to stalk you, but.
No. I don't mind. I'm about 7 miles away, I think.
So you probably don't do you have the thing where pass holders and locals actually stay on property, or is that only for people who are visiting? Is that a big thing out there for you guys to do that?
You know, I have some friends that do that. I've done it even though I'm 7 miles away. I mean, the hotels are great to stay on property there, and so when I find a deal, sometimes I jump on it. It's been a little less recently I think it's been maybe a couple of years since I've last stayed at the hotel. Right. But most locals won't do it. They'll just go to the park and then head back home. Right. Yeah. So there's some of us, I mean, if it's a big event, so like the 24-hour days, I think a lot of locals will get a hotel room that's somewhere close by.
Right. So they can
just get out and get sleep after running around.
Just walk home.
Yeah.
Walk across the street and go to my hotel.
Don't make me drive. Just walk. Yeah. So,
Well, cool. I just wanted to ask because we live, I'm probably like 45 minutes away. And I live near Tampa. Tony is like 15 minutes away. But we still love staying on property.
Yeah,
there's just something about staying on property that we love too, and there's a lot of people who are local, and I'm using Tony's air quotes local, and we still love staying on property because you know it's just we get away from it. So I didn't know if that was, just, you know, Southern Californians apparently are way different than people in Florida from what I've read on the internet.
Yeah, it's a little different. I mean, I would probably rather stay on property at Disney World than. In the same scenario, staying on property at Disneyland. I think Disney World's more of that multi-day vacation destination. Right. And so, Disneyland, I think it's a little more, you could just spend one night and be fine. And so I think that's what a lot of locals would do if there's anything. So it's still magical. See, the last time I did, it was, you know, staycation type thing at Disneyland. And there's just the old feelings of I didn't grow up in the area. I grew up a little farther north in California, and so we would take a vacation, and doing that staycation again, it just felt like I was doing that again, having all the magic of staying at the resort, going into the park knowing, oh, I still get to stay at Disney overnight. This is wonderful. You know, that amazing feeling that Disney right. provides. So that still happens. But yeah, us locals don't take advantage of that too much. But
gotcha.
Yeah. Hey, talking about that. So do you have any recommendations for like good neighbor hotels?
Actually, I have to think about that a little bit because like I said, it's been a little while that I've actually stayed at the Good Neighbor ones. I know my family and I, like I said, back when we would travel and stay, we used to do the Fairfield Inn.
Okay.
And that was pretty decent. I don't know if it's still decent, I will say. Yeah. There's actually a good set of hotels that are a little far down. I don't know if they're exactly Good Neighbor ones. So it's something to check on. But Down Harbor, I think I'm really bad with compass directions. I think it's
that way
north. Yeah.
That way.
Yeah.
That way.
But there's like an Embassy Suite and, I think it's a Homewood Suite. But the address should be Harbor.
Yeah.
I'll maybe try to look at that, but, there's a set of those that are pretty good. I think they're Good Neighbor hotels. I'm not entirely sure on that.
I think the Marriott by the Convention Center and the Hilton.
Yeah.
Probably. Good choices too.
Hilton, yeah, I would recommend the Hilton because it's a really nice hotel, but it, you know, you're spending that money for the really nice hotel. So yeah. Sometimes if you're going to spend that much, you might as well stay at the Disneyland hotel. But yeah, the Hilton's great. Yeah, there's the Sheraton right there. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the Marriott is nice. I've stayed at the Sheraton and the Hilton. That's by the Convention Center, and so those are definitely good. So. Yeah,
the I'll give you the manager of the Marriott by the Convention Center. Mm-hmm. His mother was Cinderella.
How funny!
Yeah, yeah, and he's got a ton of his mom's stuff from when she was Cinderella. We had him on the podcast a long time ago after the Marriott had done this multi-million-dollar renovation. And he's selling this stuff, blah, blah, blah. And he goes, oh, and by the way, my mom is Cinderella. We're like, you know, like what? In a high school play? No. Like in the movie, the Disney movie. What? No. You don't tell us that you're the manager of the Marriott. You don't lead with that, buddy. You lead with the fact that your mom was Cinderella. And he's got this ton of stuff that he was looking to get rid of. And he said, you know, do you know anybody? I said, listen, if you're going to go to anybody, go to Phil Sears, because if it was good enough for Diane Disney, it's probably good enough for you and your mom and your mom's stuff. So I know Phil Sears helped curate some of the stuff for the Family Museum. So I figured he'd have a good shot at a good place to get rid of his mom's things. I still haven't seen anything there yet. On Phil's site, so maybe he just hasn't pulled the trigger yet. I'm sure he's sentimental and doesn't want to get rid of it, but
right. Oh, I don't know anyway. If I could do something like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I was going to mention one more hotel, the Howard Johnson Inn, that's really close to Disneyland. I think they redid it recently, but it has a really great play area and pool for kids. So
okay, cool. Yeah.
Well, not only do we get opinions and thoughts, we also get hotel resort, you know, recommendations. That's brilliant. Great stuff. Hey, guys.
And where to stalk Cinderella's mom? Cinderella's son.
Oh, yes. So, guys, I want to thank you so much for taking time out of your busy weeks to come to the table. And, you know, we got Rachel for a little while. And that was great. And she's great. She's funny. And their podcast is pretty good. So you should check that out. Definitely Behind the Magic podcast. So let's go around. Tony, why don't you tell everybody how people can find you out on the interwebs?
You can find me at DisneyByTheNumbers.com. And you can also find me at the Disney Parks podcast. And you can buy the book at DisneyByTheNumbers.com.
Very nice.
Shameless plug.
That's right. Shameless plug. That's right.
Got to get rid of them.
Murray the Bellhop, how can people find you out on the air?
They can find me at dapsmagic.com, writing different posts. And then on Twitter, it's dapsmurray, and Instagram as well. I have dapsmurray, and We have a podcast, part of the Daps Magic site called Dapscast. And to give a quick shout out to the team, it's Mr. Daps, Annie, Danny, and Mikey really like, he's actually out there in Florida with you guys. We have we do have an East Coaster for the team. So, yeah.
Cool. Awesome.
Tell Mr. Daps we said hello.
Oh, definitely will. He might. I told him about it. He might be watching.
Listening.
So, yeah.
Listening, watching, stalking.
Stalking. He might be. So, well, thank you guys again so much. And if you're listening or watching this, definitely go check these guys' websites out and follow them. And don't stalk them, but follow them online. And they're a treasure trove. Yeah, they're a treasure trove of great Disney wisdom. And, you know, Murray, I just met you. Hopefully, you know, we're growing a budding Disney friendship. It's been my extreme honor and pleasure to know Tony for several years. He's become one of my best friends. And so good having him on the show. And I will see your book plug and I will up your book plug and say www.parkhoppers.com. Click on the link for your very own copy of the Disney Bucket List. Check it out. I am so proud. This is the first book that I've ever co-written or done anything with. So I'm very proud of it. And selling like very slow hotcakes, but we're selling them, which is good. So definitely
wait for them to bubble.
That's right. Wait for them to bubble. And if you get them through the link at Park Hoppers, you get a couple dollars off the price from Amazon, and I'll even autograph it for you if that's something that you're really into. I'd love to do that for you. It would be my pleasure. You can always find me over at Facebook and Twitter, WW Park Hoppers. You can find me at www.parkhoppers.com. And I just want to thank you guys for listening. Thank you for taking time to join us here on the WDW Park Hoppers Table for Four. Next week, we're going to have some more guests, some more scintillating conversation. We're going to be coming off a great weekend with the Disney Parks Podcast. I want to thank you guys. And as my good friend Tony Castanova of the internet always says, we will see you in the parks.